I'm Ben Pugh, and you're listening to Impact, Parenting with Perspective, episode number 120. This podcast is all about helping parents manage the mental and emotional drama that comes with parenting teens, so they can focus on what's most important, building rock-solid relationships and having a powerful impact on their teen's life. Join me each week as I dive into real tools to help you and your teen turn struggles into strengths. All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. And today we are going to be talking about how you can stop overthinking and start reprogramming your mind. Before we dive in, I asked you guys to do me a favor, and I want to say thank you. I asked that you guys would please leave me a 5-star review, and if possible, leave me a written review, because this really helps other parents just like you find this podcast so they can find the help that they're looking for, just like you found the help that you're looking for. And recently, someone reached out, left me a review. This is someone who I have worked with their teen one-on-one. I've worked with them, and it's a long review. If you want to read it, go read it. It's awesome. But I was going to just read a few short little parts. As a result of this podcast and subsequent one-on-one work with Ben, I was able to identify and change my own thoughts, which completely transformed my relationship with my oldest son. She goes on to talk about how she's having to do some of this work again with her second, and that this podcast helps her have the tools that she needs to change how she thinks. I love the last little bit. It says, the truths taught here are universally applicable and can improve any relationship by turning the focus inward. Ben teaches how to be the change you want to see in your people. It works. And it's worth it. Thank you. Thank you for leaving that review. Guys, if you take the time to leave me a review over the next few weeks, I will read all or part of it on my podcast, unless I get like a million, and that would be amazing. But I wouldn't be able to read all those. So just let's know that. But I do want to tell you, some podcasts, they do giveaways, they give away gift cards, they try and buy your love. And I've really struggled with that. And for now, I have decided I am not willing to do that. So all of the written reviews, all of the ratings that you see, like, holy cow, we have 80 ratings. And I think all but one are 5 stars. I think one's a 4-star. And I haven't paid for any of those. I just ask you guys to please share this. Please help me grow this by leaving me a review. So I wanted to say thank you for leaving me that review. And I wanted to invite you, if this podcast has helped you at all, please take a minute, leave a 5-star review, leave a written review, help me grow this podcast. Thank you in advance. Thank you for being a part of this empowered parenting movement so that we can have a powerful impact on our teens. All right. Like I said earlier, today we are going to be talking about how you can stop overthinking and start reprogramming your subconscious mind. I have wanted to talk about this for a long time, and I haven't really known how I would do this. There has been a subtle shift in my practice over time where I used to focus a lot on the self-coaching model, the tool that I learned from Brooke Castillo and the Life Coach School. And I still love that tool and I use it all the time. But this subtle shift has come in the way of me inviting people to stop doing so much thought work and to start reprogramming their subconscious mind. I will be doing a training. One of my clients, Stephanie, she is really good to remind me about the things that I promise in some of our group coaching calls. And one of the things that I will be delivering someday, I don't know when yet, but I'm going to give you guys a training on how to reprogram your subconscious mind. I'm going to include all of my favorite bits and pieces. And I'm really excited that we're talking about this today, because this is near and dear to my heart. And this is something that I am practicing every day, and I love it. It is changing my life. So recently, I spoke at a life coaching event for LDS life coaches who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I was able to share my Wheel of Life teaching, which I would imagine most of you guys are familiar with. I talk about it a lot. And I talked about how that has to do with subconscious reprogramming. And I gave the example of learning how to solve a Rubik's Cube. Guys, I'm pretty good. I can solve just a regular old Rubik's Cube in probably less than a minute. I know that's not like 4 seconds, like world record holders, but for me, that's good. And I can do a mirror cube in about just over a minute. And when a few years ago, we were at a friend's house and their kindergartner was working on solving a Rubik's Cube and could do about 2/3 of it all on his own. And then the last third, he had to look at some instructions. And I remember saying to my friend, man, I wish I were smart enough to do that. And he told me something that blew my freaking mind. He's like, dude, you are smart enough. You just have to learn the algorithms. And like, I grew up, like, I just always thought I was kind of this dumb jock. I didn't think I was very smart. I struggled in school. And I just thought smart people could do Rubik's Cubes and dumb people like me couldn't. And at the end of the trip, he's like, hey, take these instructions home and start working on it. So we went to Walmart, bought a Rubik's Cube, and I don't know how long it took, but after a while, I was able to solve a Rubik's Cube. And I look at this as kind of reprogramming my subconscious mind and changing my identity. And by the way, I wrote down show notes and I'm way off script right now. So if you're reading the show notes and you're like, man, this podcast is not even close to that, I apologize. This just happens sometimes. But I look at me learning how to solve a Rubik's Cube as what it means to reprogram your subconscious mind and to change your identity. I thought I was dumb. I thought I was too cool to solve a Rubik's Cube. Now I am so proud that I can solve a Rubik's Cube. I am really smart and I didn't believe that before. And I can see how so much of solving the Rubik's Cube is just habit. It's having programmed my subconscious mind that I just turn it this many times this way and this many times this way. And sometimes if I overthink it, I get lost and I'm like, oh, I don't actually know how to solve a Rubik's Cube because I just know how on an instinct level. And I wanted to share that with you because I believe that when life coaching or therapy or any of these tools to help us overcome a problem, anytime these tools like coaching, anytime that doesn't work, it's not a problem with the coaching. It's because what we were trying to do goes against our identity. And anytime we try and do something that goes against our identity, or we try and learn something that's out of alignment with our identity, it is not going to work. It is really hard to do so. Let me say this correctly. And those of you who've been listening for a while, you know I don't edit this podcast, but I did have to restart this darn episode 3 times because I kept messing it up. Anyways, I want to say this right. It's hard to be something that you don't believe you are. It is hard to do something that you don't believe you can do. And it is hard to have something that you don't believe that you can or should have. So today, when we talk about stopping overthinking and reprogramming your mind, this is some work that fundamentally takes place at the identity level. And those of you who have worked with me one-on-one or have been a part of the Firmly Founded Family or worked in one of my programs, you know that I like to talk about identity. And those of you who are new to me, I just want to like preface all of this by saying you are your identity. And most people don't know what their identity is. They've never truly taken the time to explore that and define that. And as we talk about stopping overthinking and reprogramming your mind, what I'm talking about is really forming not only your identity, but this way of being that you can naturally and automatically be this person without thinking too much, without trying to force it and overthink things. And one of the tools that I use all the time to help people with that is the Wheel of Life. If you're not familiar with the way that I teach the Wheel of Life, it's different than how most other life coaches do, but there is a training in the Firmly Founded Family membership in the Parent Portal. And I believe I also have podcasts about that. So if you want to learn more about that, go find those things. Gosh, I lately have not been planning my time great, and I have a coaching call right after this, so I better get on it. So let's dive into the first part, overthinking and how to stop overthinking. And recently, I've been coaching a high school football player. This dude is really good, probably better than I ever was as a high school player. And I love coaching teens, and I especially love coaching teen athletes, which there's this weird thing happening lately. I'm getting more teen athlete clients one-on-one, and I love it. And those of you who are trying to find times to work with me and you're having a hard time, yeah, it's because these guys are taking all my after-school hours. Anyways, this specific teen came to me looking for coaching to help him improve his game as a high school football player. And as kind of a side note, to help him develop some self-confidence and better social skills. I love when people are like, yeah, I'm okay with the confidence, the social skills, my main priority, help me be a better football player. Like, that is my jam. Let's do this thing. And as he explained to me what was going on during his varsity football games, it became very clear to me that he was simply overthinking. He was thinking too much, getting in his head, and he was not performing at the level that he wanted to. As a result of his overthinking, he was slow on the field, and he wasn't confident in his blocking assignments, which slowed him down even more, and he was constantly worried about letting his coach and his teammates down. And to make things worse, some of the things that his coach was having him do to improve his game were actually making him think even more and making the problem of overthinking even worse. So the very first coaching session that we had, we identified the problem. Hey, dude, you're overthinking. And it was awesome because as soon as this young man became aware of the problem, he knew that that was indeed the problem. He's like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I didn't realize it, but I am totally overthinking. And he also knew exactly what the solution was. I need to stop overthinking. Now, the problem is, how on earth do you stop overthinking? Over the years, I have coached lots of high school athletes. I've been a high school football coach multiple times. I love coaching Little League, that older age, the eighth graders. I guess so, technically not high school. But as I've coached these young men and sometimes young women, as they're actual coach on the field or on the court. And as I've coached these guys as their life coach over Zoom, one of the biggest problems that all athletes face is overthinking. This usually is known as getting in their own head. Like, how many times have you heard coaches say, oh, well, if he just get out of his own head, he could then play football better? Or, oh, yeah, he missed those shots because he's in his own head. This is just another name for overthinking. The problem is, aside from simply stopping this practice of overthinking, most players and most coaches have no idea how to actually stop. So today I thought I'd share with you how this young man that I've been working with was able to stop overthinking and get out of his own head and develop some confidence. And I wanted to share with you how I've helped lots of players over the years do this exact same thing. And so I took some time, I sat down, I was like, what are the four most important steps? And I actually came up with five. So here we go. Step one is awareness. Guys, this is almost always the first step, just so you know. You have to be aware that you are overthinking, and you have to become aware of how you are thinking and what you are thinking. This is hard because one of the things we're constantly asked to do, or asked when we make mistakes is people usually are like, what were you thinking? So here we are. We're inviting the person to think even more. And we usually follow that up with the sage old advice of think. I have some pet peeves. So I'm coaching Little League football right now, and we can hear the coaches on the other side of the field. And when I coach kids, I watch for specific things. Like I pull a kid off and I'm like, hey, do you know why you missed that block? And usually after I've coached them for a while, they have a pretty good idea. And I'll be like, yeah, you stepped with the wrong foot. And when you step with the wrong foot, like I'm giving them tactical advice, like things that I've observed. The thing that drives me nuts is when other coaches are like, think, come on, move quicker. Like, come on, guys, get a push. Like, you're not actually coaching. You're just motivating or yelling at people. And that isn't helpful. So anytime a coach is like, hey, think, you got to think. Unfortunately, in this case of overthinking, thinking is the problem. And like Einstein said, you can't solve your problems with the same level of thinking that you use to create them. That's the same here. We are not going to solve the problem of overthinking by simply thinking. So we have to take some time. And yes, this is thinking, but we have to become aware that we are overthinking, and we have to become aware of what we are thinking and what are our ways of thinking. The second step is to manage your attention. Now that you know that you are overthinking, and now that you have a good idea of what you are thinking or the ways that you are thinking, start managing your attention to these thoughts. Sometimes this includes identifying new thoughts to occupy your attention. This football player that I was working with, he had to shift his attention from thoughts like, well, what if I mess up? What if my coach gets mad? And he had to start moving his attention to thoughts like, I've got this. All I need to do is fire off the ball fast. I've trained for this. When you manage your attention, you will have more energy and more strength to do the task at hand. The thoughts like, man, what if I mess up? That is going to create the reality of you messing up. But when you think, no, I've got this, I've trained for this, that creates a reality that you fall back on your training and you do indeed have it. Okay, step three, guys, I'm talking fast because I told you I poorly planned my time and I have a coaching call right after this. The third step is to make things simple. This is where we often mess things up. We think that we understand what the problem is and what's going on, and we're managing our attention. But then our prefrontal cortex wants to take over and it wants to complicate things. It's like, well, let's make this complex system to fit. No, don't do that. Simple is better. Identify the one thing that would improve everything. Often in sports, it's intensity or execution. Like as a football coach, I coach on intensity and execution all the time because it's simple. And when we can simplify things by narrowing it down to just the basics, your subconscious mind loves simple. That's its language. And then you can start being that way of being that person. All right. The fourth step is to practice ways of being. For this football player, it was practicing being quick, being technical. For me, it's often as simple as practicing being kind or being confident. Practice mentally and emotionally and physically being that one thing that would change everything. And then the fifth and final step is to trust yourself. This one is huge. You'll be tempted to doubt yourself and think that all the things that could go wrong will go wrong and are going wrong, but don't do that. That would be overthinking again. That's falling back into that same trap. Trust that you are this new way of being and that you've got this. It doesn't matter if you're a high school athlete or a 40-year-old mom or dad like me, you have the power to reprogram your mind to work the way you want it to. Your mind is already programmed. It was programmed when you were young. And with a few slight and subtle shifts over time, it's about the same that it was programmed earlier. Make the effort to start reprogramming your mind in a way that benefits you. I used to worry a lot about what other people thought about me. In fact, this is something I still struggle with. I worry about the people who don't like my coaching and they don't like my podcast. But I've started reprogramming my mind in a better way that better serves me. Rather than focusing on all the people who might not like my podcast, I focus on who I want to be and all the people that I want to help. My teen athlete ditched his old programming of worrying about whether or not he's going to mess up and what his coach might think. And he has been working on installing new programming where he focuses on how simple his job is and how good he is at it and how much he's prepared and he's ready for this. And guys, I promise you, as a parent, you get into overthinking. We all do. We have a big old prefrontal cortex that thinks it knows everything. And I promise you that if you stop overthinking and if you reprogram your subconscious mind, you can start being who you want to be naturally. You don't have to force it. You don't have to make it happen. Just allow it to happen. All right. I wish I had more time, but guys, I have a podcast, a coaching call that's starting right now. So before I let you go, the Firmly Founded Family theme for October is Facing Your Fears. On Monday, October 10th, 2022, at 6 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, we will be hosting a free training on taming your emotional monsters. I know that might trigger some people. No, not all emotions are monsters, but guess what? Sometimes people are afraid of their emotions and they avoid them like they are monsters. So this month, we're going to be doing a fun challenge to help you and your family overcome your fears. And we're going to start on October 10th. We're going to do a training, family home evening style. This is a weird thing that my church does that is actually really awesome. We just come together as a family, typically on Mondays, and we learn a lesson and we try and go out and be better people in the world. That's what we're going to try and do here. This is going to be fun. It's going to be cute. And this month, if you participate in our monthly challenge, it's going to have the training where we tame your emotional monster and some other activities that you and your family can do to overcome your fears. But we're going to, like, I'm not a genius about all this. We're going to figure out how to, like, tag when people hashtag the right thing and tag us. And I don't know, but everything you do is going to count towards you. And then we're going to randomize it and pick who does it, and your family could be the lucky winner of a $100 Amazon gift card. If you'd like to learn more, go to the show notes and you can register for this free training on taming your emotional monsters, or you can simply go to firmlyfounded.com. We'll have a button somewhere on that page. I don't know. And with that, guys, remember, go leave me a 5-star review and a written review. I will read it on the podcast. And with that, I'll see you guys next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Impact, Parenting with Perspective. If you found any of this helpful and would like to get some one-on-one help with parenting your teen, head over to firmlyfounded.com/parent and learn more about our parenting membership today. See you guys inside.